What a joy it is to be here. Amen. And the joy to be saved. Aren't you glad you're saved? And can't lose it. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Pastor, for the message. I really appreciate it. I'll be honest, when you got up there, first thing I said was, now that's a beard. Amen. I thought I had one. I thought I was something. I got here tonight, found out I don't have nothing but peach fuzz. You got a beard. And then when he sat down, I said, well, that's a message. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you so much. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. And I did get mixed up. My wife and I have been in Pensacola this week. We're celebrating the anniversary tomorrow, so we're working our way down. We had church on Sunday morning, jumped in the car and drove 5 hours to North Carolina. And Tuesday, we drove about 4.5 hours to LaGrange, Georgia, or Monday rather. And then Tuesday, we got to Pensacola, and I've been preaching in Pensacola Tuesday night, Wednesday night, this morning. And I've had it all set. As a matter of fact, I knew the Lord was in it because months and months ago, I planned this out. And I knew we'd finish in Pensacola on Friday morning, and I knew we were headed from Pensacola to Charleston, and I needed to stop in between. I'm a wimp. I just can't drive a long time. So somebody said, you going to Pensacola? I said, yeah, I'm taking 3 days to get there. Amen. And so I knew we were leaving Pensacola and need to get to Charleston. And so I looked on the map, and I Googled in between Pensacola and Charleston, and it said Valdosta. So I started looking at hotels in Valdosta and said, we'll just stop in Valdosta on Friday night, be halfway between Pensacola and Charleston. Saturday morning, we'll start celebrating our anniversary and we'll go to Charleston. And I got a call from a preacher, and he said, I'd like you to speak for us on a Friday in March. I said, Pastor, I don't have any Fridays in March. I don't think I have a Friday till December. And he said, well, let me just give you the dates and give you the place. He says, Friday, March 15th. I thought, I definitely can't come March 15th because I'm coming from Pensacola and I'm headed another direction. There's no way. He said, well, we're in Valdosta, Georgia. I said, not only can I come to Valdosta, I will be in Valdosta. So I'm serious. You can't make this stuff up. So we finished in Pensacola this morning at chapel, and I called my secretary, and she told me that where the pastor said we were staying. And my brain, I don't understand it. He said, La Quinta in Valdosta. And I put in my navigation, La Quinta in LaGrange. I don't know what I was thinking. And I headed off, and I started driving and having a good time and stopped at a little place that had cakes and said, this would be a nice place to stop, and looked at another place that maybe I'll stop there. And somebody told me, you probably drive through Tallahassee. My parents were born and raised in Tallahassee. I knew I didn't have time to stop, but at least I'd like to drive through and just smell my relatives, you know what I'm saying? And I told my wife, I said, we must have gone back roads. I have not seen Tallahassee. So she looked at the map. You know you're messing up when your wife is looking at the map telling you you're wrong. We're supposed to know something about maps. And she said, we not only haven't gone through Tallahassee, we are not going near Tallahassee. I said, well, sometimes Waze takes you to back roads, you know. She said, are you sure we're going to Valdosta? I said, Valdosta. I looked at my nap. I said, I put in LaGrange. So what should have taken me about 3.5 hours, and I should have been here about 4 o'clock, took me about 6 hours. And I'm two things that don't go together. I'm hungry and I'm tired, all right? That means I'm hangry, all right? But we got here about 6:40, and the Lord brought us here. And look, whatever's bad could always be worse. The devil is not going to win, all right? So I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be tonight. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. Thank you for honoring me with the invitation. For all of you who've come tonight, I was in LaGrange. It's not LaGrange. I was in Valdosta. Years ago, Adventure of Faith Camp. I don't know, it's been 22, 23 years ago. It's been a long time since I've been here. I'm glad to be here tonight. I tell you why I'm glad to be here, because I believe God is here. Amen. Amen. 4 years ago, right about this time, I was getting sick and didn't know it. Woke up on this night, March 15, 2020, in the middle of the night, and told my wife, I just don't feel good. I went downstairs and lay on the couch for a while, had a headache that wouldn't go away. I woke up the next day on our anniversary, canceled our reservation because of what was swirling around. We had canceled our evening service that night because the governor had canceled all gatherings over 100. I went out and got some flowers and brought them back home, gave them to my wife. We didn't do anything. I lay on the couch. She said, stay away. All right. And the next day was a Tuesday on the 17th. I went to see my doctor. He said, you have something viral, but it'll go away in a couple of days. The week before, I preached in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I got up on the Friday morning, which would have been March the 13th, and didn't feel good, went to the clinic. They said there's a virus going around. Have you been out the country? Do you have respiratory illness? No, no, no. Let's take your temperature. You've got a little fever. We might take, then they took it again, said you don't have a fever, so you don't need a test. You don't have COVID. The young lady was a black lady. I promise you, she said to me, don't worry about it. Black folk ain't getting this virus anyway. That's what she said. If I knew where she was, I'd give that black person something else tonight. But anyway, she didn't know any better. But this is, I mean, you can't make, this is March 13th, March 15th. I'm back at church. I'm preaching on Sunday morning, feeling good. Canceled service Sunday night. I wake up feeling bad. 16th anniversary, 17th, doctor, you're going to get better. 18, I'm on the same couch, sleeping there. And I wake up, I tell my wife, I feel something in my chest. And I had gone upstairs to wake up. She said, well, you having breathing problems? I said, I don't know. You know God's been good to you when you don't even know if you're sick. She said, well, we're going to the hospital. I said, I'm the man in this house. No, I didn't. I said, yes, ma'am. We got in the car, walked in the hospital. I said, I don't feel too good. Took me in the back. Said, you have pneumonia. But we can treat you with pneumonia at home. We'll start you on a Z-Pack. You take the first one today. Go get the prescription, take it for 5 days, you'll be better. You start feeling worse, come back. I got home. As soon as I got home, I started feeling worse. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm shaking and trembling. My body feels hot, but I feel like I'm cold. I told my wife, I need to get in a hot bath. So I stagger up the steps and I get in a hot bath, and I'm so weak I can't get out the bathtub. She pulls me out. I lie on the bed. She says, I'm, and she said, you're gasping for air. You need to go to the hospital. I said, I don't need to go to the hospital. I'm fine. She said, you're going to the hospital. I said, yes, ma'am. And, so I walked in the hospital, barely, laying on the wall, took my temperatures 105. And they said, we're going to keep you. I didn't argue. And I lay down. I'd been to the clinic. I had been to the doctor. I had been to the hospital that morning. This was the fourth medical place I'd been. And they decided to test me. And they looked at my wife and said, ma'am, you need to leave. So they rolled me into a room and put me in isolation, locked the doors, and the doctors came in with, really looked like spacesuits to me, and masks and gloves, and stood far back. And eventually found out I had COVID and my oxygen dropped and just the whole story. I looked at the doctor. I said, Doc, am I going to get better? He said, you're a man of faith, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, you better hope for that. People all over the world prayed for me. Had pneumonia in both of my lungs, and I thought I was going to go, but God. Amen. And so I'm living in a driven stage of my life. My lungs have never gotten back. I'm telling you, on a good day 5 years ago, I could have spit to that woman at the back door and hit her upside the head with sanctified saliva and not even took her breath. And I just can't, I don't have it in me to do that. I was lying on the bed for months, in the bed, after I got out the hospital. And the devil said, you'll never preach again. You'll never preach again. Let me tell you something about the devil. He's a liar. He didn't pick it up from somebody. He started it.
That's right.
And I don't care how bad his lie is. If you listen to it long enough, you start believing it. You never preach again. So I was not preaching for the longest time I can remember since I've been 9 years old. And then I said, God, I got to preach. This is what I've been called to do. So I'm contemplating, am I going to go back and do this and start traveling preaching again? And I said, if I do, I can't do it like I was. So then the devil said, oh, you going to preach, huh? Well, they won't listen to you. If you don't yell, if you don't jump, if you don't take those old ladies and make their pacemaker go off, you are not going to get listened to. And I was headed, it was the summer, And I was going to preach a couple of meetings. Some of them have 4,000 or 5,000 people in them. And the devil said, if you sit on a stool and preach to teenagers, they won't listen to you. I'm telling you, this is what he said. And it was almost like God chimed in and said, they ain't listening to you anyway. If they're getting help, they're listening to me. And so God has helped me with me. I mean, I remember my wife said, you need to put a stool. You're leaning over the pulpit. My chest tightens up. That's what happens. It feels like always, constant, 24 hours a day, feels like something's sitting on me. And the longer I talk, the more it tightens up. So if I'm standing up, it is harder for me to keep my diaphragm up. So I'd be leaning over the pulpit standing up. And she couldn't look because it was stressing her out. She's worried I'm going to fall out. And she said, you need to put a stool up there. And I said, I'm a grown man. You know, stool up there. What kind of man sit on a stool? Who you think you married? And so I was in pulmonary rehab, and the therapist said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. She said, well, my church is not open yet. This is way back. I said, well, we've started opening on Sunday mornings, and you can tune in to us. She said, I'll tune in this Sunday. That was a Friday, and I went home that weekend and preached in church, came back on Monday for rehab. She said, I watched your service. She said, I really, really enjoyed your message. She said, but I noticed while you were preaching, you lean over the pulpit while you're preaching. She said, you ought to put a stool up there. And I said, you ought to jump off a cliff. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But I should get credit for thinking it, shouldn't I? Don't you think? So I swallowed my pride. I really did. And I start sitting. It's been 3 or so years. One of these days I'm going to get up out of it, here or there. But I don't even worry about it anymore. God, I had to get over me. That was the problem. See, you keep telling you the devil and people, and it's so much what people look down. No, no, no. The biggest people we got to get over is ourselves. Amen. I got over me, so I don't worry about it. I don't worry about a stool. Matter of fact, sometimes I'd be spinning around on them and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, churches go out and buy special stools. We didn't have one till you were coming. We bought three. Which one do you want? I said, let me sit in all three of them. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm enjoying the Lord more than I ever have.
Amen.
I feel like an old man some days. I said, why do you think God did this to you? Well, I think Jesus is coming back before I get old, and he wants me to experience what it feels like. So I thank the Lord for my wife. I thank the Lord for my family. I thank the Lord for good friends. I got a pleasant surprise tonight. I saw some friends that I've known for a number of years. I used to go to Florida every year for a long time, West Palm Beach. Very good friend of mine, Pastor Carl Fuentes, pastored at Central Baptist Church. Planted that church, visionary, pastor's heart, great father, grandfather, good friend. And he got COVID in the pandemic and passed away. And I love his family. I've stayed in their home many a time. When I used to travel in Florida, I preached in another church, and I stayed in a missions house, a prophet's chamber. Listen, I don't have anything against prophet's chambers, but some of them resemble the original one. There's nothing in there but a bed, a table, and a candlestick. And call me carnal. Call me carnal. I like ESPN, all right? So this prophet's chamber did have a TV, but no channels, you know. And so I thought, what's the TV here for? That's spooky. I'm trying to go to sleep and the TV's looking at me, you know. The Fuentes used to bring me a VCR and Disney movies. And so I had something to do while I was in that prophet's chamber. Call me carnal. That's all right. I was at least the only thing worse than being carnal is being carnal and bored. All right. But something started there, and I started going to their church for years and staying in their home. We've spent many times together. Well, I walked in tonight, his wife, Monique, and daughter, Rose, and folks from their church, Karen and Brianna and their family, walked in. And I thought, I've been driving so long the wrong way today, I'm hallucinating. And then I sat down with them. And they said, no, it's us. So either they're telling the truth or this is a long hallucination, all right? I was saying to someone, a college student there in Pensacola today, what a blessing it is to have friends you've had for a long time. Some people can't keep friends. And some friends can't stay being friends. And I've got some longtime friends that are here tonight. You only get friendships like that in the work of God.
Amen.
So good to see them. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to me. Sometimes I just talk, and I don't know how to be anything but me, and to give you my heart. And my heart is I'm so glad to be alive. I'm living in the moment. I was in Pensacola this week. I'm going to do another revival somewhere else next week. I'm going to enjoy my wife, and we're going to have a wonderful anniversary tomorrow. But the danger in life sometimes is that we're here to now. We're here tonight, but we're still where we were yesterday or already where we're going tomorrow. Charleston will be there when I get there. Pensacola, I've already left. I want to live in Valdosta right now.
Amen.
And God brought me here tonight, not to give you a sermon from a briefcase, but to give you a word from the Lord.
Amen.
And I just want to tell you that I don't know you, you don't know me, but for the next few moments, I'm going to give you my heart.
Amen.
And I'm asking you to give me yours for Christ's sake, that the Lord can do a work in this service tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to preach one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, and yet I feel like in all these years, I've not heard very many preach a whole message from this text. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 23rd division of the book of Psalms.
Wow.
And could I invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word? This psalm has never meant as much to me as it means right now. How many thankful for the Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
If you know the psalm, quote it with me. If you don't, read it out loud, but let's all say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for the music tonight. What a blessing. I love to hear family sing together. Great to see you again, my friend. It's been a long time since we've seen each other. Isn't heaven going to be good?
Oh, yes.
Let's taste a little bit of it tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit? Would you take this psalm and make it as alive to these thy people as you have made it to me? Especially these last 4 years. Now, God, you didn't keep me here to fool around. You didn't sustain me to make it out the bed and just make it back. I want to live on purpose. Now, somehow in this big world that you created, that we just heard about, you ordained for this man to be in this place on this day. You're too wise to be mistaken. You're too good to be unkind. So Lord, I've got to believe you've got something to do in this place tonight, in me and in them. And oh God, I want whatever you have for us. Bind the devil, put a hedge of protection about this place. He tried to get me in the wrong city and he's already lost. I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
So God, I want to do what I'm supposed to do. Now make much of Jesus tonight. Up the road, watch over my family while we're gone tonight. And use this Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There are more than 500 references to sheep in the Bible. They represented chief wealth and livelihood of people. Providing food to eat, milk to drink, wool for making cloth and coverings of tents. Sheep were also a medium of exchange. They were a source of sacrifices. I'm saying they were valuable in nature, but as valuable as they were and as they are, let us understand tonight, their nature has always been and will always be gentle and submissive. Let me give you this word, they're gullible. Gullible, huh? Listen to the scripture. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb. He openeth not his mouth. Notice what Jeremiah said. I was like a lamb or as an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I know not that they had devised devices against me. Here's the connotation of Jeremiah. He says a sheep is gullible to the point that he's getting ready to get slaughtered and doesn't even know it. Defenseless. Micah said, as a lion among the beasts, as a forest, as young among the lions, among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Matthew 10, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What do you mean defenseless? I mean, when a sheep gets in the middle of a lion or as a wolf, the sheep cannot ward off the lion himself. The sheep cannot run off the bear himself. The sheep is valuable, but the sheep is defenseless. He cannot protect himself. Anybody listen? Tonight, in constant need of guidance and care. Number said, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation be not as sheep which have no shepherd. 9:36 of Matthew, Jesus said they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. In other words, they need guidance. They need care. They're not intelligent. The songwriter said they're prone to wander. Hear me now. They must be guided. They must be defeated. They must be defended. They must be sheltered. They must be looked out for. They must be watched because they are gullible. They are unintelligent. They are defenseless. They do need care. They'll get in a ditch. They'll wander off. They'll be lost. They'll show up where they should not be. They'll not be where they should be because they cannot find where they're going on. I'm trying to tell you, in Jesus' name, they need a shepherd. And so the shepherd boy who grew up watching sheep picks up his pen on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. And he's not writing about some subject like some people in the media do, talk about stuff they don't know nothing what they're talking about. The last thing I want to be around somebody is someone who acts like an authority who doesn't know what he's... No. When David wrote about sheep, rest assured, he wasn't just licking his finger and putting it in the wind. He wasn't giving you some uneducated guess about some animals with whom he had never spent time. When David wrote about sheep, understand he was writing about sheep being an unintelligent, sheep being needing guidance, sheep being prone to wander, because as a shepherd he watched the sheep and he knew that those sheep that he watched every day couldn't find their way without him, couldn't be defended without him. They would wander off without him. They weren't intelligent without him. He knew that they were valuable. He knew that they were precious. He knew that he loved them. He knew that he cared about them, but he knew that his sheep needed a shepherd. But when David wrote in Psalm 23, he wasn't just writing as a shepherd who knew sheep needed a shepherd. He was writing as a sheep. Hear me now. David knew that these sheep aren't the only ones that are unintelligent. These sheep aren't the only ones that are defenseless. These sheep aren't the only ones in constant need of guidance and care. These sheep aren't the only ones that are prone to wander. See, David knew what it was like to stay at home one day when he should have gone to war. Come on now. And in one day he looked, he got hooked, he booked, he took, and became a crook all in one day. And David, listen, David knew, I ain't just looking at unintelligent sheep. I am an unintelligent sheep. You know what David was saying? I need to be guided. I need to be directed. I need to be defended. I need to be cared for. I am prone to wander. I will mess up. I am a big dummy. Do you know what David was saying? My sheep need a shepherd and I'm their shepherd, but I need a shepherd. And when he wrote Psalm 23, he wasn't just talking about how bad he needed one. He was talking about how glad he had one. And in Psalm 23, he picked up his pen on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, unbeknownst to him that this psalm would be written down and recited. And some people that don't even understand it would tattoo it on their body. And people that would never been in church and never been saved would recite this psalm. And funerals all over the world would give comfort to people from this. He didn't understand it. He wasn't writing it to get it printed. He wasn't writing it to get it famous. He wasn't writing it to get clicks and posts. He wasn't writing it to gain friends in the ministry. He wasn't writing it so it would slip its way into the canon of scripture. He was writing it from a heart of sincerity to know, I'm in a crazy world. I'm a sheep prone to wander. I'm a sheep in guidance, needing guidance and care. I'm a sheep that's unintelligent. But oh God, I rejoice that not only do I need a shepherd, I have a shepherd. And I don't have a slouch for a shepherd. No. My daddy's not my shepherd. My mama's not my shepherd. My friend's not my shepherd. My servant's not my shepherd. My predecessors are not my shepherd. My counselors are not my. No. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm talking about Jehovah, the self-existent one. I'm talking about Jehovah, the supreme. I'm talking about the one who put the stars in place and the moon in space and the sun hanging on nothing that it never falls down. Took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, immutable, unchangeable, eternal, was, is, and is to come. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Listen to me. I'm looking at the news just like you looking at the news. I'm looking at politics just like you looking at politics. I'm looking at the world just like you looking at the world. I see it. I understand it. It's getting worse. People acting crazy. We can't figure out basic stuff like what bathroom to go to. We can't figure out what a man is, what a woman. I'm not belittling anybody. I'm just telling you we are mixed up. We're trying to eradicate marriage, the home. Our kids are learning about stuff at 4 that we didn't learn about till we were on our honeymoon night. This is the world that we're in, and people think the next election is going to fix it, the next technology is going to fix it, the Republicans or the Democrats or the independents are going to fix it. Let me tell you something, Christian, you ain't going to get what you need from nothing out there. But I came to tell you, after I almost went to the wrong city tonight, God turned me around to tell you that everything you need as a sheep, you can get from your shepherd, and the Lord is your shepherd. Is your shepherd. Can I walk you through Psalm 23 quickly tonight? Will you walk with me? Let me tell you what happens when the Lord is your shepherd. Number one, you have complete satisfaction. He said, I shall not want. You say, well, I'm wanting for a lot of things. There are a lot of things in my life that I need and I don't have. Well, I tell you what, you must be following the wrong shepherd. Because when you're in line with this shepherd, you shall not want. His inherent sensitivity will alert him to our needs before we even say them. His infinite source will give us what we need, and he does not have to outsource it or subcontract it to somebody else. I'm glad that he provides for me, and everything I need, he gives me, and everything he gives me, he possesses himself. Aren't you glad you don't have to go outside of Jesus to get what you need? He is just, stop running to counselors and running to the world and depending on your own understanding. You have a shepherd, and when he is your shepherd, you have complete satisfaction. Number two, you have a controlled supply. Notice verse number 2. He maketh me. Look at the second part of the verse. He leadeth me. He maketh me. What do you mean? He's controlling me. He's controlling me and supplying for me at the same time. What do you mean control? He has divine placement when he's controlling me. Watch this now. He puts me in the right spot. He making me to lie down. Aren't you glad that the shepherd knows about purposeful downtime? I remember in kindergarten, there was a time in the middle of kindergarten, in the middle of the day, where the teacher said, you're taking a nap. I'd like to tell you, I'd like to go back to kindergarten. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had a nap in a long time. I wish somebody would make me take a nap and give me some Cheerios when I woke up. You know what I'm saying? Hey, come on. We don't like viruses. We don't like pandemics. We don't like traffic. We don't like trials. But sometimes the shepherd said, you need to lie down somewhere. Yeah, I'm lying on that bed and I want to be out and about. You know what the Lord was saying? You need to lie down somewhere. Amen. He gives me a purposeful downtime and he gives me a proper diet. I'm glad that when the Lord makes me lie down, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Hey, God said, I ain't had you break down where you can't eat, huh? Hey, Elijah, don't you think that I don't know where Cherith is? I'll send meat-eating birds to bring you meat. Come on now. Yeah. Listen, God purposefully has you in a downtime to give you a proper diet. He knows where to make you lie down next to green pastures. He's a divine placing God. He's a directed pleasure God. He leadeth me beside the still water. Come on now, come on. You know what still waters are? They're not rapid waters. They're not raging waters. They're not boisterous waters. They're still. You know what? That's a sign of peace. Come on, don't act like you don't want it. I said peace. Amazon's coming to our house every day, I tell you. I just don't understand it. I don't order Amazon, but everybody in my family does. We've got a cart outside with snacks on it for the drivers. I mean, that's how they're always at my house. My wife says, you don't have to go to the store for that, honey. I've got Prime. I can order this morning. It'll be there by this evening. You know what she's trying to tell me? Amazon got everything. They come to my house every day. They've never one time dropped off peace. We used to go in town to go preach somewhere, and we'd get in town the first night. My wife said, we need to go to Walmart. We'd pull up at Walmart. She said, all right, I'm going in. I said, oh, no, you won't. Because if a woman goes in Walmart, she'll never come out. She'll never come out. She's going in for milk. She's going to be distracted by the jewelry and the clothing and the everything. There's too much in Walmart to get out there any time. But I tell you something, look at every aisle in Walmart. You'll never find peace. Oprah's got an episode on everything. Dr. Phil fixes everything. They don't know how to give no peace. But I take get in line behind this shepherd. Come on now. He makes you to lie down in green. Somebody say amen. This complete satisfaction, his control supply. Watch this now. His contributed strength. He restoreth my soul. To restore means to bring back to existence, to bring back to use, to bring back to original. Come on now. Let's take the halos off for a minute on Friday night. We got to go home in a little bit and back to that crazy world. Let's just be honest. Sometime we need to be restored. It's crazy world. I mean, you like me. See, I got to go to the barbershop. I got to go to the grocery store. I got to go out there. But there are times I come back in the house after being out in the world and I feel contaminated. And that's not to belittle people. It's just the stuff out there. He's just told us we don't fit here. And that contamination can get to you sometime where you get out of what you should be and you get drifted off and you get out of church and you get out of your Bible reading and you get out of your fellowship with God and you get out of sync. Back in 2015, we were on a couples retreat, and my brother, we're all eating, and he calls me from the other end of the table, and I come see him. He said, I feel funny. We call the ambulance. They say your heart is beating at 270 beats a minute. He's in VFib. They tell us that most people don't make it to the hospital alive when they hit VFib. They just drop dead. He gets to the hospital. He's at 290. I go to the back room. They say we need to shock your heart. Why? You can't run that way. If your heart doesn't get back on the right rhythm, you can't live. They shocked it, but the shocked it and it stopped, and they gathered around him and pumped him to get his heart beating again. Why? Because if your heart's not beating, you can't live. You listen, they pumped him for 26 and a half minutes. They tell me we don't even pump people that long, but they did that night. And guess what? After 26 and a half minutes, he got a heartbeat again. Listen, he got restored. Anybody listen to me? Maybe God brought you to Bemis Road Baptist Church. Maybe you're tuning in on the radio tonight, not just to hear about pledges, not just to fall asleep with something before you. Maybe God has you here tonight because your heart ain't beating like it should for souls. Your heart ain't beating like it should for your marriage. Your heart ain't beating like it should for them. Maybe, young man, you've drifted off and you've fallen more in love, been infatuated with basketball and girls and social media and making money. And maybe 5 years ago, God called you to preach and you've drifted off. Can I tell you something about the shepherd? He knows how to restore you. Amen. Number four, he gives me capable supervision. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Capable supervision. What do you mean capable supervision? He knows where he's going. Amen. Listen, I'm not mad at you because you got lost. I'm mad at you because you pulled out in front of everybody and you got lost. It's not wrong with getting lost, but there's a whole lot wrong with leading when you don't know where you're going. You didn't have to get in front. There were six of us. Somebody else could have gone first. If you went first, don't get to the first light and be zooming in and put your hands out of the window and go, I don't know where I'm going. Nobody made you go first. The problem with a lot of people, everybody wants to lead, but a whole bunch of them don't know where they're going. And a lot of people want to follow somebody that doesn't know where he's going. I like the music there. I like the nursery. I like the coffee shop. I like the parking lot. I like the women's club. I like the pastor that he's short. I like this and I like that. You don't go to church for all of that. Get a massage or a spa if you want all of that stuff. If you want to follow the Lord, you better follow somebody that knows where he's going. Amen. David said, the shepherd leads me. Where? On the righteous path. This is pretty simple. If I'm following Jesus, I'm doing right. Say amen right there. If I'm not doing right, I'm not following Jesus. It's just very simple. Pastor, we'd like to talk with you. Okay, sure, I'd be glad to talk. The Lord is leading me and my family down the road to a church that the Bible already told me I shouldn't go to. But the Lord told me to go to. Shut up. The Lord didn't tell you that. I don't need a crystal ball. I don't need to read your palm. I don't need a fortune cookie. I know you're not following the shepherd if you're going somewhere where the shepherd already told you not to go. He leads me in a righteous path for a rightful purpose. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness so I can post it. No. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness so I can brag on it. No. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness so I can get invited to Valdosta on the front. No. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness so the fundamental brethren will think I'm a who's. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness so I can become a deacon in the church. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness so I can sign Bibles. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness so I can say I'm better than other people. Wrong. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness for his name. Amen. The shepherd has me do right so I make him look good.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? How good have you made the shepherd look lately? See, a lot of preachers want to post stuff that they're doing as if they're following the shepherd for themselves. Be careful, preachers. If we're not careful, we'll be trying to one-up each other. Just post tonight. We had 10 people saved at the Bemis Road Baptist Jubilee. There's another preacher going there. We had 11. Wait a minute. We're getting it twisted, folks. It's supposed to be for his name's sake.
Amen.
He gives me a calming solace.
Yeah.
Verse 4, yea, though. How many wish we never came to the yea, though? Don't you sheep wish you never had to walk through a valley? I mean, and here's what human instinct says. If I'm in a valley, I must not be following the shepherd, because surely following the shepherd avoids valleys. David said in Psalm 23, wrong.
Amen, preacher.
Wrong. Ask Job. Ask Paul. Ask Jesus. Yea, though. I'm in a valley. I don't like valleys. Have you ever said to the shepherd, why am I in this valley? You should have taken somebody else through this valley. I thought so many times, God, you know, I'm lying on this bed with COVID. If you had asked me, God, I could have told you who to give it to. I've got a list of whatever category you want. Preachers, deacons, men, women, boys, and girls. Tell me what you want. I got a list. Maybe you're spending all week long complaining about the valley instead of seeing who's with you in it.
Yea, though
I walk, when the fretful plight comes, and it's coming, frets coming, plights are going to come. They're going to come more and more as we see the day of stress, difficulty, calamity, adversity, trials and testing. All that live godly shall suffer persecution. He said, yea, when the fretful plight comes, he said, I have a fearless persuasion. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not afraid. Hey, David, tell us why you're not afraid. Because I trained underneath Saul. Tell us why you're afraid. No, because I've been a shepherd boy and I'm tough. Tell us why you're not afraid. Because my daddy Jesse and his father Obed, you know, Boaz was a man's man.
No. I'll tell you why I'm not afraid. I have a fretful plight and I have a fearless persuasion because I have a faithful presence. I'll tell you why I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because he's with me.
Somebody's in a valley tonight. Come on. God brought you here. You're in a valley. And you spend all your prayer time asking God to take you out of the valley instead of remembering he's with you in the valley. He's a calming solace. Number 6, he's a comforting security. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's got a rod and a staff. The rod's a little bit different than a staff. The rod's kind of like it's a little shorter stick. And it's It's used for a number of purposes. I'm talking about the rod. Anybody listening? The rod, first of all, would be used for a counting process. I mean, the shepherd would let the sheep walk underneath the rod, and as they walked under, he would count them. One, two. He didn't lose his sheep because he could count them with the rod. Come on, aren't you glad your act of fool self can't lose your salvation? Because you're always counted by the shepherd. Come on now, help me preach. When I don't feel saved, I'm still saved because the shepherd keeps me in the number. Come on. Oh yeah, come on. I'm winding this thing down. But listen to me. Even if you're not used to saying amen, just pick up an offering envelope and write down amen right there. Somebody said, how do you know you can't lose your salvation? Because I'm still saved. And if it could be lost, I would have lost it by now. I'm glad every morning, regardless of what happens between midnight and when I get up out of bed, I'm glad he still counts me his own. Glory, holla. Boom, shaka, laka, laka. It's a counting process. But the rod, this stick, this club-like stick, is also credible protection. When that wolf comes along, that shepherd can use that rod to bust that wolf upside the head. You remember David was kind of looked down upon by Saul. You can't defeat Goliath. Well, let me tell you what I did with them fools mess with my sheep. He didn't say fools, but you know what, I'm preaching this message. See, all kinds of critters and creatures would come at the sheep, but the shepherd had a rod, and when that enemy came at that sheep, the shepherd could protect the sheep with the rod. Aren't you glad that your shepherd knows how to protect you from your enemies? Stop spending all week long fighting your enemies. Let the shepherd take care of them. Follow the shepherd. Let him fight your enemies. The staff, longer stick with the hook on it. The rod for accounting process, the rod for credible protection, but the staff for a connecting pull. Because sheep weren't always messed up because they got attacked by the enemy. Sometimes sheep were messed up because they wandered off on their own. Somebody ought to say amen, because you know where I'm about to go. Listen, somebody ought to be happy that you're in church tonight, not because you're a great Christian. You're in church tonight because when you tried to go wandering off somewhere, the shepherd took that staff, put around your neck and said, get back over here. Get your eyes off of that woman that's not your wife. Get your mind off of that website you shouldn't belong on. Come on. Quit applying to that college that ain't going to train you to what I called you to do. Quit running around on that sports team when you should be in church. Get over here. Quit spending God's tithe on your own hobbies. I tell our people, don't get nervous when I start talking about tithe, and I haven't even started talking about your money yet. The tithe is the Lord's. Aren't you glad that the shepherd doesn't just protect you from the enemy, but he protects you from yourself? Amen. Thank God for the hook. Listen, I'm a preacher tonight, but I'm ready to admit to you there have been plenty of times he put that hook around my neck and said, get back over here. And David said, that comforts me. He gives me a convenient spread. Thou preparest a table before me. Aren't you glad he knows how to feed you? Come on. I'm talking about Psalm 23. Thou preparest. It's a sovereign preparation. God's the one that's feeding me. It's a splendid provision, a table before me. I mean, come and dine at the master's table. A splendid provision, a sovereign preparation. Watch this now. There are seeing people there in the presence of my enemies. Anybody feel like you're under attack when you're serving God? You preachers? Yeah. I mean, you try to build a church and the society's against you, and they build a casino and everybody's for it. Yeah. You try to get off for a church event and they tell you can't get off, and somebody wants to go to Las Vegas and gamble and they get no resistance. You walk down the hallway of a public school and act a fool and nobody says anything. You want to try to start a Bible club and they call you a weirdo. The enemies are gathering around us. We're going to create more enemies. They hated him. They're going to hate us. And Here they are with their fork in their left hand and their right in their knife hand, right hand, and they're ready to destroy us, right? Can you feel it? Spiritual warfare. What are you going to do? Run them off? You going to run off people from being enemies? As long as you serve God, you're going to have enemies. What are you going to do? Whine all week long?
They just gather around me. They just gather. Every time I look, they got a fork and a knife. We're going to eat you, eat you, eat you, eat you.
That's what it feels like being a Christian sometimes. Come on. Look what David said. I am not going to spend all my time trying to run my enemies off from gathering around me. Can I give you a suggestion tonight? If you're going through some battles in your Christian life and there are people that are fighting you strictly because you're doing right, don't run them off. Listen, they have a front row seat trying to eat you up. You say, well, what do I do when the Jubilee's over? I'm going to go back to those same people sitting on the front row trying to eat me up. I won't tell you what to do. Give them popcorn. Amen. Say, what do you mean give them? If I give them popcorn, they're going to stay. Let them stay. Since they're going to sit there anyway, listen, the Bible's already clear. They may want to eat you. They're not going to eat you. Instead, they're going to have a front row seat while God feeds you. Thou preparest to take. Stop running your enemies off. They have a front row seat to destroy you, but instead of destroying you, they're going to watch and they're going to go, good gracious alive, their shepherd takes good care of them.
Amen.
You're going to work after you lose a loved one. Your enemies are watching.
Yeah.
You know what they're going to say? I didn't have what you had in my valley. Whoever I'm serving, don't feed me like he feeds you. David said, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Let the enemies watch God feed you.
Amen.
My cup runneth over. He gives me a covering sufficiency. The Spirit's filling is the oil, right? That anoints my head with oil. God help us if we're scared to talk about Spirit filling. It's in the Bible. Let's not let people that misconstrue biblical truth cause us to avoid it altogether. You are not a good Christian if you're not filled with the Spirit. And you're scared of the word because you don't know what it means. There's nothing to do with speaking in tongues. There's everything to do be yielded. And by the way, how can you be filled with something when you're not emptied of something else? The Spirit's filling. The supplied fullness. My cup runneth over. Y'all country folks, you know what happens when it runs out the bowl? It goes into the saucer. And when it goes into the saucer, you just pick that thing up and slurp it up. Listen, you hang around the shepherd long enough, it'll get so good, it'll run out the bowl into the saucer. And you'll just be slurping it up, running down your beard. That's the goodness of God. He ends with what I call a consequential surety. Surely. God help us if we're living in 2024 as saved folks and we ain't sure of nothing. I am sure I'm saved. But David talks about surely. Verse 6. He says, I have a surety, a consequential. What do you mean consequential? As a result of how good my shepherd is, there are some things that I'm sure about. First of all, I have a favorable conviction. I'm sure about this conviction. There are some precious components, precious components in life called goodness and mercy that will make a particular conveyance in my life. Here are the components, goodness and mercy. Here's the conveyance in my life. They shall follow me. Here's the word follow in the Hebrew, radof. It means to chase, follow, hunt, or pursue. You tell me David didn't know what it meant to be pursued. Saul was pursuing him. Right, every time he looked around his corner, you had to look, see, couldn't stay, couldn't sit in his own throne, couldn't sleep in his own palace. God had already given him the palace. He couldn't sleep in it because his predecessor wouldn't get up off of it. Saul was running him down. David knew what it was like to everywhere he looked, to look over his shoulders and find Saul and his enemies trying to hunt him down. He said, I know what it is to be pursued. He said, but when I get in line with the shepherd, I look over my shoulder. I don't see Saul and the boys. I see some other people behind me chasing me down, and I kind of like them chasing me because their names are goodness and mercy.
Amen.
You ever been somewhere where your phone didn't work? You ever been somewhere where you didn't have Wi-Fi? Huh? You ever got lost and couldn't explain to the person how to find you? Well, I want to tell you something about following the shepherd. Let me tell you something. Them hound dogs he got working for him, goodness and mercy, they'll find you when you don't have no signal.
They'll find you when you didn't tell nobody your problems. Somehow they'll come knocking on your door when you didn't communicate it to your... Have you ever walked into church? You didn't tell the pastor about your week. You didn't tell the song director about your troubles. You didn't tell the person in church that shook your hand with money in it about your financial crisis. But somehow somebody shook your hand with money. The song director picked the song you needed to hear. And the pastor talked like he got a camera in your house. And you're saying, how in the world did God give me what I need when I didn't tell nobody? The shepherd said, breaker 1:9, goodness and mercy, come in. Can you hear me? I got a sheep that's in need of it, that nobody knows where he is, but you track him down because you got a GPS system that can track down anybody. And there you were, about ready to throw in the towel. You got a knock on your door, scared to answer it. I don't even want to answer it. I don't even know who knows I'm here. And you open the door and say, hey, guess who we are? Goodness and mercy. Shall follow me. The components, goodness and mercy, the conveyance shall follow me, the continuance all the days of my life. That's a favorable conviction. Yeah, that's something I can believe. Now, here's what David said. A surety, right? Favorable conviction. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, watch this now. Fervent commitment. Because the shepherd is going to make sure I'm covered by goodness and mercy, I'm going to make sure I'm committed. I shall dwell in the house of, watch it for us. I'm going to have a serving place with a sustained position. Watch it. Because the shepherd takes such good care of me. Watch this now. I ain't going nowhere. We're not asking you what you're doing tonight. We're asking you, will you still be doing it in 3 months?
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen.
Whole lot of people leaving the church. Whole lot of people left. Some of them said they left because of COVID, but they still went to Walmart. They still went to the mall and had the nerve to post it. They weren't scared of the virus. They just left a shepherd who never left them. Now listen to me now. Come on, look at me. I'm finished. We're a bunch of dummies in here. There's a crazy world out there. Listen, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to fail God. I don't want to lose my marriage. You young people, you can't learn what you got to learn from a rap song. From a movie star. These colleges can teach you how to make a living, but they can't teach you how to live. Now let's make some choices tonight. If we're unintelligent, if we're gullible, if we're defenseless, if we're in constant need of care, we need a shepherd. Amen. Let's rejoice tonight that we have one. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours?
Amen.
Then let's make a choice tonight. If he's my shepherd, I'm going to follow him wherever he leads. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Thank you for your attention tonight. Could I ask you a couple questions? How many of you would be honest with me and with God tonight and say, preacher, I know what kind of sheep I am. I know. And I feel myself wondering at times. I feel myself under attack. I feel myself directionless at times. I know I'm a sheep that needs a shepherd. I need to be more committed to my shepherd, more appreciative of my shepherd, more in tune with Psalm 23. About my shepherd. God spoke to me tonight. Would you put your hand up? Come on, all over the building. My soul. Now, just a moment. In just a moment, I'm not into manipulating invitations. I promise you. I'm not. If you come for me, you ain't gonna do it anyway. You gotta come for the shepherd. Let me ask you one more question. I mean, anybody say, I'm not even sure he's my shepherd. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm positive I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I'm not even sure he's my shepherd. Anybody? Now, I'd like everybody to look at me just a moment. Just a moment. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the piano to play after I pray. Look, life's too short to play games, right? Can we not play the invitation game tonight? Look who's coming. See, play. Let's not. Life's too serious. The shepherd's too real. Don't come for somebody else. Don't come because somebody else comes. Don't not come because someone didn't come. David didn't say the Lord's our shepherd. He says he's my shepherd. He is our shepherd, but he made it personal. You get up for him. Just hands all over, most hands. Now, if you don't come, that doesn't make you not spiritual. If you do come, doesn't make you spiritual. I'm just saying, don't you think we ought to move while he's moving? And if we can't get up with a bunch of Christians, we have a hard time doing it out there. Now, here we are at this Jubilee, and we can shout the house down. He's coming again. But until he comes, we better learn how to follow him. So I'm going to pray over every person to raise their hand. And then as soon as I pray, they're going to hit one. You're going to sing? If you want to, sure. I like to hear you sing. And as soon as the note starts playing, that's your invitation to come. From the back to the... You put your hand up. So that means the shepherd's already been talking to us.
Amen.
People come to Kirk Church. I preach on faithful church attendance. They raise their hand. Some of you feel you need to be more faithful to church. Me, Pastor. God spoke to me. 5 hours later, they ain't there. You don't get a cookie from heaven just because you raise your hand. We got to do something about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, saturate this altar with serious people. Serious people. That's all I'm going to ask, God, that every Christian follow the shepherd. In Jesus' name. Amen. Standing together, if God spoke to your heart, would you leave your seat tonight?